Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles, but we still here, finna build here, up Cointel Pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised? Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fully promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles, but we still here, finna build here, up Cointel Pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
G
G-Wagon, all defensive. They got it, ride the wheel. I know people die for nothing. Make you no say anything when you do, they must commend it.
I can't come and keep myself.
So anything when they do, I they try to do on my way.
I can't come and keep myself.
Plenty survive with you, bitch. Just to make some money, bitch. But my people can go say, I know one fight, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want donuts. Tell me, my nigga, what's it come? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, pick your step, ride the whip, I know feet, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the garden, ride with me, I know feet. Different things them happening, schemes and packaging. In a one night for shows I'm juggling. Flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling. Sharashina fella, that's my bro, my family. Rose in chill. When it comes to money, I take concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become a shall I be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want donuts. Tell me, money. What's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, pick your step, ride the foot, I know feet, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the garden, ride the whip, I know feet, die for nothing. Unuwa bona,
Black power. might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.
Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Life was like a movie, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey. Life was like a movie. I die, I organize. Everything I do's revolutionized. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like B's, really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, Marcel Cody with the Uzi. Listening to Fela Kuti, I'm a goon with the machete. Especially if it's deadly, got the Santo for the Hexy to protect me, so respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery, now it's family over every. Cause it's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop to get high. If you know, then you recognize it's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind, RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Bungie, Bobby, Pac, and Tookie. Sitting by the door so you can say I'm acting spooky. Just like in the movie, son, you better pack your toolie. Niggas switch, be acting fruity, you'll be cracking like they pookie. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and eluding. Bang, bang, pig shooting, we should blame Rudy Julie. Yanny for the camera, shine a white and nose candy. Let you banging on the system, you a gangster wearing panties. RBG, my family, from the Bronx to Miami. Police cannot stand me, Pacquiao like a Manny. Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push the button. Rappers don't be saying nothing to the system, we say fuck them. This is for Nahanda, Mama C, Mama Akua. All the real OGs, I'm a soldier, cause you told me study Malcolm Garvey Huey. What? Malcolm Garvey Huey. What? Malcolm Garvey Huey. I'm reporting in the duty.
Sticky icky, yours truly here for duty. Don DeVino, M.A. Uno, you know how we drop the jury. This is real, not a movie, not Mickey Donald Goofy. I'm a soldier, I avoid a bitch nigga like the cootie.
School face in a hoodie.
Fresh pair of khakis, we could do this like we fam. I go to war like the Apache for whatever. I stay ready, I learned that in Tallahassee. Robertune, they used to school me as a juvie. Skipping classes, never let the system use me. My duty is my passes. Watch the homies in your army, they don't always show they badges. Keep your family living healthy, teach your children about their blackness. Teach your wifey how to use the ratchet. This shit is classic. Get your food, clothes, and shelter. Fuck the system, pimp it backwards. I ain't hating, I'm just saying. If you wanna be a rapper, study
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
A tactical approach is designed to get certain results. It's designed to keep you alive. It's designed to bring about victory.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Of somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha, But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will pop. Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
All right, black and beautiful. Yes, we're black and we're beautiful and we're proud of it. Black power, black power, black power. Brothers and sisters, today is indeed a very, very special day. Today is our holy day. Today is a holy day throughout the universe and is so powerful as today we honor the life, the legacy, the born day of El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, more popularly known as Brother Malcolm X. And on this day that we honor Malcolm X, what better way to keep the legacy building, as we know and attribute Malcolm as being the father of black nationalism as revolutionaries. And as a father of black nationalism, we honor and he is immortalized because Brother Malcolm X spoke truth to power when it wasn't popular. He declared that we needed to be separated and independent and to be a people who are to be respected and demand respect in return. That everything that we have in our nation and everything that we need in our nation, we have amongst our own selves. And he called out those forces in the government and policy and business in the entertainment arena, the coons, the buffoons, the devils, the crackers, whatever you want to call it, that was exposing those people who are responsible for our oppression, for our being brutalized and murdered and lynched, for our people being treated unfairly in every sector. Unfortunately, that work of wickedness is still taking place as we in 2022 are still fighting the same battles, dealing with the same enemies. It's just the modern version of the same of war. And right now on our watch, we have made some progress, but we still have a long way to go. So on today, May 19th, as we honor Malcolm X, tonight's broadcast is very timely, and I believe it's part of the continuation of the legacy, because not only was Malcolm a great freedom fighter for black nationalism, he crossed the Atlantic Ocean and made ground in the mother continent of Africa and made great inroads with the brothers and sisters on the continent. In fact, he even took and was fashioning his movement to deal with Pan-Africanism and our human rights in an international scope. And that was what we believe to be one of the reasons why our great brother was taken out. But you can kill the revolutionary, but you cannot kill the revolution, because not only does our struggle continue, our movement is evolving and it's getting even stronger. Our connections with Africa are even stronger now. We have technology at our side. We have the right interpretation of history being presented to us through our scholars as our benefit. We have people in political position here in the United States, but on the mother continent as well, who are not only exposing the corruption of what took place through us with the chattel slavery, but the corruption that took place to the mother continent as it related to not only slavery, but colonialism. And these are some of the battles that we are still addressing.
but we are not sitting around just being victims. There are many great, powerful inroads that are being made in business, in technology, in politics. And with that, on Thursday night, with the Pan-African Network, we have our brother, Brother Eugene Telford, who represents ETC Logistics, who on Thursday night brings us reports of what's going on in the mother continent of Africa, and not only the political realm, but also in the business sector and the cultural sector. And these discussions that he brings to us are things that we could actually practically apply. These are not just lectures with somebody just telling you what's going on, but our brother always brings information to us from a perspective of how to become self-determined and to be interactive and to become a part of the solutions to the things that we say are troubling us, or to not only be a part of the solutions, the things that are troubling us, but to be on the forefront, pioneering on things that are evolving and taking place that we can help to benefit not only the mother continent of Africa, but ourselves. So tonight's topic that our brother brings us is the smart city projects in West Africa and business opportunities, what we can do to get involved. So I'm going to fall back. I'm going to bring our brother in. Mic check. Brother Eugene, can you hear us? Mic check.
Up? Yeah,
black
Mike
power, black power.
What's up there? Hey, y'all. I know I really missed y'all over the last few weeks, but Brother Eugene was getting with some of the New African Networkers over the past couple of weeks, and we was getting some things together for the Meseret Humanitarian Project. And I will certainly get into that information to relay to y'all a little bit later on in the broadcast. Black power. Yeah, so what's rocking in your town over there, Sister Crystal?
Oh, man, Brother Eugene, we're getting ready. We honoring Malcolm X today across the world. But also we're getting ready for Juneteenth that's coming up in just less than 30 days. About 1 month from now, we're gearing up for that. And we still battling the beasts out here, shaking these coons and knocking these crackers out the way and saying we're not going to be shut down. You know what I'm saying? We demanding reparations. We're organizing on work for reparations. And we have a number of brothers and sisters that have some very heavy enterprising going on here. You know, the same, message is the same, man. You know what I'm saying? It's all about self-determination. And it's all about, you know, making our connections, you know, and leveling up. So tell us what's going on in West Africa and what's the business and how can we get involved? And, you know, I know you got so much to cover. We want to know what you guys have going on for our folks in Ethiopia and with the Meseret. Shout out to the sister that's doing the grand work out there and Brother Imani and everyone. You know, we have you guys back, and you always have the platform here for the brothers and sisters with the Pan-African Network. Black power.
Black power, black power. Well, Jumbo and Habaragani, brothers and sisters, in the words of T. Swahili, what's the news? It is May 19th, 2022, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the New African Network, the New Black Panther Party Thursday night business broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Brother Eugene Telford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Great state I'm in, and all states I'm in. The New Black Panther Party and the New African Network extends a big up to all of our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black grassroots organizations and Black businesses united, over 300,000 strong in the New African Network, 1 million strong in the Black Panther organization, and all networkers together range out to more than 2 million networkers and co-opting all across the continent of Africa and the world. Members, networkers, and affiliates, we are working together worldwide. Black businesses, Black activists, Black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together to make a difference in the communities in which we live. In the words of Key Swahili, Tuka Pamoja, we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. So, first of all, before we get started, again, let's give a big shout out and a big asante to our First Lady and General, Dada Krista Muhammad, and all the NBPP nation builders. A big asante and a big shout out go out to all of our sponsors, our supporters, our contributors, our contributors, our business partners, our Black Nation troops and security teams and legal advisors, the NBP Black Cross Emergency Medical and Social Workers team. Hey, guys, remember to donate at nbp.org. Your contributions go very far, and especially right now in the time of natural disasters and people helping out the hungry and the community and where it needs to be. Hey, the new Black Panther Party is always there to assist. A big asante go out to the New Africa Network Board of Directors, team members, and affiliates. A big shout out to all of our show sponsors, such as Exquisite Import-Export Trading Company, also doing business as ETC Logistics USA, your one-stop-shop network for international trade and logistics services, operating since 1988 and providing services throughout the Caribbean, Central and South America, and Africa. For more information, contact 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750. ETCLogisticsUSA.com. Again, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is May 19th, 2022, and the New Black Panther Party and the New Africa Network welcomes you to the Thursday night business broadcast. And as usual on each and every Thursday, we're going to kick the night off with information, providing informative information from the African Stock Market and Exchange Report. And here we go with today's highlights. First up, we have the Ghana Stock Exchange closing today at 2,564.20. It was down by negative 1.79%. That reflected a trade of 46.79 on the index. Year to date, the market was also down by 225.14. That gave a negative trade of 8.07% on the market index. However, the market capped out today at 62.53 billion, and that was the end of the day on the GHS. Next up, we have the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It closed today at 68,245.84. It was down by negative 1.21%. That was a negative at minus 837.60 on the trade. Year to date, the market was also down at negative 5,463.55. Reflected a 7.41% difference on the index. However, the market capped out at 19.56 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Exchange. It closed today at 133.44. It was down by 2.78% on the index. This reflected a negative at negative 3.82 on the index. Year to date, the market was also down at negative 33.02, reflecting at negative 1984%. The market capped out at 2.08 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. Next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange. It closed today at 53.275.49. It was up by 1.05% on the trade index. This reflected a positive at 55,554.15. And year to date, the market was also up at 10,559.05 at 24.72% on the index. The market capped out today at 28.73 trillion. And that was the end of the day on the NGN. Nigeria, go Nigeria. Zimbabwe Stock Exchange is up next. Closed today at 20,792.40. It was down by 0.93% on the index, which reflected a score of 194.51 on the index. Year to date, the market was up at plus 9,970.04, reflecting a plus at 92.12% on the index. The market capped out today at 2.98 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZWL. And last up, we have the New York Stock Exchange closed today at 15,035.87. It was down by 0.057% on the index, reflecting a negative at negative 8.65. Year to date, the market was down at negative 2,190.23 at negative 12.71%, reflecting on the index. The 52-week high was 17,312.94, and that was the end of the day on the New York Stock Exchange Composite. Well, first, before we get into tonight's program and dialogue, we want to certainly pay homage to our very dear and great ancestor, the Honorable Malcolm X. This is March 19, 2022. And Malcolm X was, his Muslim name, which is El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. He was born May 19, 1925 in Omaha, Nebraska, and right here in the United States of America. And we also call this place the United States of America because it's all that's in here. Anyway, he passed away and into the next life, and is now enjoying his next chapter of his voyage in time. And he passed away on February 21st, 1965. Wow, that was a very volatile and very harshful time that our ancestors was going through just to obtain decency and human civil rights. Malcolm X was a prominent African-American leader and figure in the Nation of Islam who articulated the concepts of black pride and black nationalism in the 1960s after he was assassinated. A widespread of distribution of his life story, the autobiography known as the Autobiography of Malcolm X of 1965, which made him an ideological hero. And this is especially among the youth of that time, extending into today. While he was born in Nebraska, Malcolm X moved with his family to Lansing, Michigan when he was just 6 years old, and his father was a reverend known as Mr. Reverend Earl Little, who was also a follower and a participant in the Marcus Garvey movement and was a major supporter of the Garvey movement at that time, of his time. The Malcolm X was imprisoned in 1946 up until 1952, and he underwent a religious conversion that when this took place, he joined the Nation of Islam. It is a African-American movement that took place during the starting way back in the 30s, actually during the Garvey movement time. And it is combined with the elements of the Garveyite movement and Islam and black nationalism. Malcolm sharpened his forensic skills by partnering in debates and classes. And as for the following of the Nation of Islam, the NOI traditions, he replaced his surname, Little, with X until he was able to obtain his traditional Muslim last name, which is El Shabazz. And the Nation of Islam followers, this is a tradition as a part of a Nation Islam follower. You shed the last name of the slave masters or perhaps the plantation in which most of our ancestors obtained their last names. And this is a traditional part of what the Nation of Islam do to move ourselves forward as a free-thinking people and virtually giving yourselves a chance to start over again as a fresh person out of the clutches slavery, post-slavery. After Malcolm was released from prison, he helped lead the Nation of Islam during a period of greatest growth and influence. He met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Chicago in 1952 and began organizing temples of worship. One was in New York and the other in Philadelphia, and another was in Boston, and there were many chapters that were formed right here in the South. He founded the nation's first newspaper, which was known as the Muhammad Speak, which he required many of the male members of the Nation of Islam as a rite of passage to sell, and assign members of the newspaper and sell these papers on the street, as well as recruit. And it was also a form and mechanism of raising funds. It was a very unique technique that brought hundreds and thousands of dollars in to the Nation of Islam. Malcolm rose rapidly in the nation's ranks, and eventually he became the minister of Temple 11, and later he became the minister of Temple Number 7 in Harlem, New York, and which is the second largest and prestigious temple to the Chicago headquarters. His biting, critical, and critic thinking of how the world viewed the black man and the black woman at that time, the social call, and which most black people at that time, or African Americans, were known as Negroes. Negro provided that the intellectual foundations for the black power and the black consciousness movement in the United States. He began to influence the nation and others that the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, helped change this term that was used to reflect the African American as a Negro or colored to being black and proud to be black, a Afro-American, a African, a African-American, a black African, black people of America. And that's the history of our brother. And I will continue on. Rest in peace, brother. And we also extend peace and blessings to the Shabazz family on this day. So we are speaking of some historical things today, honoring our honorable Malcolm, Brother Mark, Malcolm X. But in this day and time, we are also engaged in some very historical stuff ourselves. The African-American, the Afro-diaspora community, where we're in our own moment in time with the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution, and we get to tonight's topic and discussion, and, well, I will be providing everyone with an update of the African Smart City Projects and how you can get engaged if you are a professional or if you are a business person or someone has means to invest. And this is certainly the show tonight to get connected, and I am here to provide some informative information that has been relayed to me through some very high up individuals in the governments of both Ghana, Senegal, Sierra Leone, and Gambia, and also Nigeria. These folks we are highly connected with through the African Union, and these people that are part of this association and the New African Network provide information that you can digest and utilize for yourself. There are three major projects that are taking place, and it's actually four, but I'll get into that a little bit more in the program. First up, we have the Wakanda City Project that's currently taking place in Ghana, which is on the Cape Coast of Africa. And this is a project I'll get into more, a little bit more dialogue about. Second up, we have the Akon City Project taking place in Senegal. Third up, we have the Eco Atlantic City Project taking place in Nigeria. And the fourth I'm going to get into a little bit later in the dialogue is the Diaspora City Project that's taking place in Sierra Leone, West Africa. So, you know, a lot of folks are just getting acclimated about Wakanda City Project. I thought that was something that was on the Black Panthers or something like that. And, of course, that's where it started from. The idea through some very prominent individuals, they looked at the movie and got excited. And it was like, hey, let's make this come to fruition. And we can do it because we are Africans. Africans can do anything. The city
That's right.
is being built as a pilgrimage and a destination for people of African descent. The government of Ghana recently signed an official documentation and agreement with the African Diaspora Development Institute that's based right here in Washington, D.C. It is a institution that was developed by Dr. Eric Kenneth Kurumbura-Kwa, who is the former ambassador of the African Union. And she has been a very vital instrument in helping to keep everything organized as many of the African countries are beginning to form economic alliances. And in the West African region, we talk about ECOWAS, which is the Economic Communities of West African States. And we'll dialogue a little bit more how these cities interact and with what's taking place there in the ECOWAS region. Yeah, word up. And the African Diaspora Development Institute is building a ultra-modern city, which is coined and known as Wakanda One Project. The city, which is named, was inspired by the technological advances and the fictional African city of the Black Panther movement, of the Black Panther movie. The Wakanda City, Ghana, is a place where people of African descent can learn about African history and culture and also about African civilizations, as well as play a major role in the creation of the world economy. There are going to be five phases to this city project, and for what I understand, one is it will be completed. It will be once completed, the city will have adequate amount of hospitals and universities and technical schools and colleges. It will have five-star hotels that could rival that of United Arab Emirates. They'll have a lot of major resorts that will be coming there to set up, and we very much encourage our African brothers and sisters from the diaspora to get into that arena and ball game, hotels and resort development. There will also be opportunities for our brothers and sisters who are in the medical field to get into the pharmaceutical manufacturing arena. They're going to be developing many plants that could actually utilize many of the indigenous plants and resources, the modern day resources, to advance the medical industry. And many of our brothers and sisters on the continent who have acquired those Western educations are now going to be utilizing that to build the future of what's taking place in West Africa. There will also be parks and green spaces, shopping centers, and roads and highways, and there will be support mechanisms that will be connected to the major ports like the airports and the seaports and the rail lines. And, of course, all of us know over the last 10 years, many of the African nations have been working to bridge the gap between the links between each country by building this intercontinental highway. This continental highway starts from North Africa and goes all the way down to South Africa, and it's going to be a major road development infrastructure. It's a major infrastructure development that's taking place to assure that once the borders are open, they'll be able to easily get people from in and out of one state to the next, which we will get into the United States of Africa at some point in time as well. That is on the table. This project is expected to generate more than 40,000 jobs on the Cape Coast, which will include the indigenous people there in that part of Ghana, as well as an alignment, a economic alliance that has been formed by the ECOWAS organization in the ECOWAS region. The African diaspora is committed to helping this flourish, as it is a project that is certainly they have been reaching out to us to be engaged in, and I've often talked on many of our talk shows and discussions about some of the contracting as well as business opportunities that are available that many of our brothers and sisters can get engaged with. And that's what the New Africa Network is for, is to get you connected, and we get you connected to the right people and the right resources to help you level up, just like our sister Crystal said a few minutes ago. In this project, it is necessary because it brings forth the capacity that is needed to move Africa in the forefront of the new world order, the new economic alliances, a place in the world where Africa itself will be setting itself to take place on the world financial stage. It is already there. And for more information about the Wakanda Project, you can reach out through the website of the Afro Diaspora Development Institute at ourouraddi.org, and that's ouraddi.org. There's plenty of information on that website about the Wakanda Project, and we hope that you brothers and sisters will get engaged. Just a word of thought, you know, a couple of years ago, they had the Year of Abode in Ghana, and this is where all of this stuff right there just flourished from. You know, our brothers and sisters went over there from all of our superstars and athletes, and President Adu of Ghana has been a very influential person to getting the diaspora to look at coming home. We don't have to be stuck here in the place of Babylon and be amongst folks who don't care anything or like us. So he's given the option, many of the presidents in West Africa and Africa, period, is giving us the opportunity and alternative to return home with open arms and just get out there, explore. Take your pilgrimage and go to a few places and fill out the place where you like to be at. There's much space to be at on the continent of Africa, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get ourselves back to the lands of our ancestors and our resources, so that way we are not having to pick from crumbs and support platforms that we really don't want to be a part of, and developing nations care nothing about who we are as a people. So yeah, black power to that. Next up, we have the Akon City Project, Senegal. Akon City Project is a project located in being sponsored by the Senegalese, and it was signed into formation, an agreement that was signed by the entrepreneur Akon, who is also a musician, the Akon musician, and he had partnered up with the Senegalese Ministry of Tourism back in 2018, and the agreement was put into place by President and solidified by President Macky Sall. And it is a $6 billion project, Akon, as partnership with both the Senegalese and also Uganda, where there will be a second city be evolving out of that. And also I have signed some major agreements with nearby neighbors like the Congo and many other of the neighboring nations to be able to foster economics, and especially with the economics alliances that have been signed into place, will be certainly a big catalyst. This Akon City is a beacon of innovation and human development, and it will definitely help boost the industries of West Africa for raw materials to finished made product. The Akon City Project will be building stadiums and casinos and luxury high-rises, and apartment complexes and condos. It is also built on the concept of education and technology and advancement and development of ingenuity and science. And many of the districts there, they will be building colleges and universities. And just in case many of you who are not aware, many of the historical black colleges and universities here in the United States are looking at partnerships right there to actually open up universities overseas. So, hey, that is a economic black power move right there. Word up. And making progress with that. So for more information about the Akon City Project, you can actually tag them on their website also at www.akoncity, that's A-K-O-N, city, C-I-T-Y, .com, and obtain all the information that you would need to make a decision about going there to invest. And I've actually lived in Senegal for a little bit of time back in the 80s and 90s. I actually traveled back and forth there. It isn't like I lived there, but I was basically traveling there a lot on and off for a couple of summers there, and was over there doing some trade mission type of stuff with the Washington, D.C. Chamber of Commerce. And so we took a few people there along with my church that I was attending at the time. And a big shout out to Reverend Walter E. Fontroy, who is also a major civil rights leader and certainly one of my mentors. And at the time I was attending Howard University, and people like Walter Fontroy took many of our young brothers and sisters over to the Mother Continent, and we had the opportunity to visit Senegal, Gambia, and Mali, which was quite an experience at that time, and that definitely helped me to wake up, smell the coffee, and get my act together so that we can make a difference in the world in which we live in. And next up, we have the Echo Atlantic City Project that's taking place in Nigeria. And Echo Atlantica, its official name was known as the Nigeria International City of Commerce. And it was a planned city that is now based in Lagos State, Nigeria. And if all of you have an opportunity, you can Google or log on to YouTube and just put in your search engine, EKO Atlantic City, Nigeria, and you'll see a whole slew of information about this particular project. It is a reclaimed land project that is taking place there in Nigeria, and it is taking land back from the Atlantic Ocean that was put into place a few years ago. And upon completion, the new peninsula it is anticipated that there will be more than 250,000 residents that will be living there, and it will have a daily commuters of over 150,000 folks who will be just moving in and out of the new city just to go there to work and then retreat to the suburbs. Echo Atlantic is expected to rise as the next generation city and property, which is being fostered by our native brothers and sisters there in Africa on the continent, having a total of 10 districts all throughout the whole city itself, which is expected to satisfy the new financial arena, the new financial sectors of Nigeria, the new commercial sectors, which involve also have a combination of residential and tourist attractions and accommodations. Echo City is being fostered by both public and private partnership, and it is a also partnership, private partnered by companies to invest, encouraging Afro-diaspora investors to come in to be a part of this funding process. While it is in the Lagos State, it is a combined partnership with the Lagos State government, and it is also strategically matched with the Nigerian federal government. Echo Atlantic.
Buddy D,
go ahead, sir.
What kind of investment would someone be looking at if they, you know, what kind of coins are they talking about? Do folks need to be looking at to start?
Well, you know, you can come in right now and purchase property as minimum of you know, $50,000 to $100,000 for a couple of acres of land. And certainly in this particular area that they're developing with the Echo Atlantic project, it is a new high-tech city project. So I encourage everyone to go on and take a go on the internet, take a look at the Echo Atlantic project itself, and you can see some of the new buildings that have already been being built out of that particular project in Lagos. But some of the new condominiums and high rises can be anywhere from 50,000 all the way up to 1 million US. It all depends on your view and the location of where these high rises are going up on the Atlantic. But they are also encouraging brothers and sisters who have the money and the waywardness of going there to develop resorts and building hotels and also buildings yourselves. You know, they're trying to encourage us to go in. So if you have the resources, they certainly have agencies, like I said, with are connected with the federal government that can help foster you getting in as an investor. And, of course, who knows? You know, you may have $1 million that could maybe raise, having a return on investment.
You're not talking about the U.S. federal government, are you?
No, I'm talking about the Nigerian federal government.
Oh, yeah, let's get that clear. Let's make that clear, everybody.
You're talking about the Nigerian federal government. Yeah, yeah, we're talking about Nigerian federal government. We're not talking about U.S. federal government. But, of course, you know, those who know some of my stuff that we've dialogued about in the past about how to get connected in with some of the U.S. resources to help you get into some of those foreign markets, you know, certainly I'll be able to dialogue about that a little bit later, too. But the Echo City project has started back in 2009. And it is consisting of a brand new harbor and business district. It will also have a brand new marina and downtown district where a lot of people will be able to go downtown and do what you do, just like how you do in any major city, work and play. It is also, it'll have scenic sites and beaches that you can actually go out on and have fun and recreation time and Echo Drive itself. And it is also built out to be an oceanfront major real estate place where people can get in. And if you want to be on the beach like you do here in like Miami and California, that's certainly the place to get in on the ground floor. It's not a saturated market. And right now it's certainly affordable. So bring those U.S. dollars on in and make it work for yourself. For more information about the Echo Atlantic project, you can go to their website, and it is www.ecoatlantic.com, and peep out the Echo Atlantic project. And, yeah, that's what's up with them. We're going to certainly keep an eye out because, as we all know, Nigeria is certainly the place to be at right now. If you are leveling up, and I'll get into more, you know, you just have to look up what Nigeria's economics and economy is like. Hey, you'll be astonished. Well, anyway, last up, we have the Diaspora City Project, and this is just in the pipeline right now. It is with Sierra Leone, and Sierra Leone is also a city which is located in the ECOWAS region of West Africa, and it is a part of the ECOWAS Alliance, Economic Alliance. It sits between Cote d'Ivoire, and I believe it also sits between Guinea-Bissau to the north, Guinea and Guinea-Bissau to the north, and also close by is Ghana. And the Diaspora City Project is being discussed with some key and prominent folks here, the wealthy black individuals here in the United States, with one of the mayors there that's in a part of the town in Sierra Leone, Freetown, and the government of Sierra Leone. And it is a plan to create and discuss, let me see what they say here. It's a plan that's being discussed by the government officials and key dignitaries and business officials in the Africa diaspora, and the Diaspora City is a green high-tech city which will have all the comforts and luxuries of what you would find in Monaco or a place like Rio. So, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. And if you ever been to Sierra Leone, oh, the beaches are pristine and so beautiful. You think you're on a Hawaiian island somewhere. But anyway, it has that same type of characteristics with the rolling hills and mountains in the background. And the purpose of this city.
And one of the brothers in New Orleans, Brother Kaiman, went to Sierra Leone. He found out that's where his ancestry was from. He's part of the Mende people. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
and you know,
so yeah,
Sierra Leone. Go ahead, sister. Yeah, so Sierra Leone.
No, I was saying, I heard you were telling us about you're going to try to get us on the ground soon. We're not going to drop that bomb yet, but.
Sure.
We looking forward to you making that happen, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what's up. Black Power, we're definitely going to be making that happen at some point in the very, very near future. And, yeah, I certainly look forward to even traveling to a few different places. We're planning to take a jump trip. We're going to probably start out somewhere like Ghana. Then we're going to visit a place like Sierra Leone. We might go to Nigeria. And it's going to be three stops that we're going to be trying to get to, maybe Senegal or someplace like that. And then with Senegal, we call it the Senegambia region. So we link all of them brothers and sisters together. There's no divide between Senegal and Gambia other than the British used to control one part of it and the French. But our brothers and sisters, they come and they dismantling all of that now. So everybody.
All those artificial borders of colonialism, huh?
Yeah, that's what's up. So with the project that's taking place there in Sierra Leone, I know it's going to be more than 1,000 acres of land, which will be along the Atlantic coast. That's going to be the plan itself. It was supposed to be a modern design city and communities, centers of city. The city will be a green environment, secure natural resource environment, sources, natural secured resources, renewable and sustainable energy, that will be utilized, and it will provide the comforts of affordable homes and business ownership. So definitely that's going to be some good things that we're looking forward to seeing flourishing. The project is also consists of the attraction of professionals and business people from all over the diaspora. They want us to come there to help develop and be a part of the actual structure of the city and be key and major players and decision-making persons to be a part of this. So, hey, man, I like that, how that sounds already. And partnership with the local Sierra Leonean and foster economic growth, venture capital ventures, and also job development. And I will certainly keep everybody posted on about this as soon as I get additional information about it as well. And our brother Dinus Amir, he's been taking people over there for the last few months. You know that, right?
No, I don't know. Give us an update.
Yeah, Dinus, man, he's been taking folks over there, and they've been getting their dual citizenship. They've been going over there, putting their little retirement and investment money into some properties over there, and them folks getting ready, and they're real nice. And I was like, yeah, I was peeping them out a couple of weeks ago on his last week on one of his YouTube channels. And basically what they have partnershiped up to do, those individuals who come to find that they have their ancestral DNA linked to Sierra Leone, they can get repatriation and dual citizenship without any problems. But they are also giving dual citizenship to those individuals who are looking to go there to invest. And I think, you know, if you have, you know, a few coins that you can get things up and off, they're looking to develop many sectors from real estate to agriculture to, you know, infrastructure, electrical, plumbing, you know, everything that a new modern-day city would need. So we highly encourage brothers and sisters to peep out Sierra Leone. And if anybody wants to get connected with Brother Dinus Amir, you can reach me, Brother Eugene, at 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750. Tell me you want to get connected to the Sierra Leone next trip with Brother Dinus Amir, and I will certainly get you guys connected in on that. So
yeah, you had him on here a few months ago, and he was getting everybody.
Yeah.
you know, the information on it. So, you know, he's actually on the ground and people are taking advantage of it. And that's, you know, one of the things, you know, that we, you know, we got to give you big ups to, Brother Eugene. You're bringing the people to this show and to this network that are about, you know, what they're talking about. We're not, you know, and I mentioned that in the beginning. You know, the brother's not just coming on here just, you know, trying to just run his mouth, you know, although he has a lot of good things to say. But he's bringing us concrete what we can do, who's doing it, who to get connected with, where to make it happen. So, you know, let's not dilly dally, brothers and sisters. You know, we spending money on, let's see, what folks spending money on? You're taking cruises to Mexico. Come on now. How many times you going to go to Mexico? You're going to Europe. You're going to France. Come on now. Take that money and invest in the motherland. Have you a piece of West Africa. The doors are open. The doors are open. They're running out the red, black, and green carpet. You know, our brother has listed just tonight 5 countries. I want you to think about this, people. Most of us have only known one country, and this country has mistreated us. Despite how educated we become, despite how much money we develop, we can still turn on the TV and see a white boy go in the grocery store and just shoot down black people. And they walk him out of there like he's some kind of a war hero. I'm talking about the police. If it's not obvious that not much has changed as we honor Malcolm X, we have to be a part of that change. Our brother has given us a way, an exodus. I'm going to start calling you Brother Moses. Go ahead, Brother Eugene. Black power.
Yeah, man. You know, we've been talking about that exodus for a minute, too, man. You know, I often read from that part of the scripture, both from the Bible and the Quran. And, yeah, it has a real significant meaning to it. And when you look at how it relates to us as a people of struggle, yeah, a lot of that written dialogue is certainly we have a connection to that as well. And certainly we are the new breed African generation. You know, we're here to level up and we're not here to fall by the wayside despite what people say about us, and they degrade us all the time. But we've been some very strong and resilient people in our day and time. And certainly that's what we want to do, is to continue to encourage our brothers and sisters to stay positive even when the enemy gets negative. And
right.
That positive energy is a beacon of light, and it is a beacon of hope for people who have integrity as well as understand what humanity is. We're the first human beings on earth. So those folks, they were birthed after us, and we have to take leadership and responsibility to how people foresee us in life. It's not as negative because they painted it for us to be negative. We are not negative. We are very positive people, and that is the direction that we're headed towards. And especially in this moment in time when we have the African Industrial Revolution. Hey, man, who would have thought that we're the generation that's bringing that in? You know, this was a vision that Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X, all of them, you know, Malcolm X, they were being mentored by people like the Garveyites, and they were talking that, you know, when we were young, we didn't understand none of that. Yeah, we didn't understand none of that kind of stuff when we were younger. But now that we're older and we are the major players, and we have to remember, we went to school with a lot of them fools. We were a generation that was integrated. And so those folks that you see, that you think that are in high places and you can't go talk to, yeah, we can. You can step to them face to face, let them know that they wrong, and let them know it's time to pay and we trying to play. That's what's up.
That's right.
Black power.
That's right. But it's black power, and it's so key, because I think a lot of times folks are so mystified And, you know, I'm just going to use the go back to what I just mentioned, the metaphor or the story of Moses, you know, taking the people across the Red Sea. But I'm going to bring it back to this time. What more red of a sea than the Atlantic Ocean with all the blood and bones of our ancestors that are in it? How about the promised land is our original motherland? Brothers and sisters, we are dealing with a modern-day wicked pharaoh, and all the plagues of that time are hitting us now. Look at what history and spiritually and everything that we have had before us. And how about we wipe the mysticism out of our minds and listen and apply the what's being brought to us? We have a way. All we got to do, we ain't got to worry. You know, all we got to do is get on a plane. Look at what Kunta Kinte and them went through. If you watch the movie Roots, he talked about Alex Haley's book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, earlier on the program. Alex Haley was also famous for writing the book of Roots. And our ancestors had to get their feet cut off and were tortured for trying to even thinking about it, not much as getting to Africa, just trying to get to a state that didn't have chattel slavery. And all we got to do is get our little resources together and get on the boat. Hell, my company loans money. Let me do a commercial plug. TMI agency. If you have a business, if you want to get into financing, let us have a way that we can connect with ETC Logistics and the travel and the dual citizenship that Brother Amir is doing. And we, as a people, can connect you with the brothers and sisters that are on the ground moving. And if it's about resources, we can pull our brains together and work on how to get these resources, even if we have to do it collectively, if you don't have it individually. This is very powerful. I'm talking about from the biblical to today, we are the people. And we have our Brother Eugene, showing us the way. And he doesn't even ask anything of us. You know that, Eugene? I just realized that. A lot of people, they come on, they want something, they want us to do something. All the brother always asks us to do is to be about business. To be about the business. Well, what is your phrase, brother? We are the generation. Say it. How you say it, brother? You know your phrase. But on our watch, the brothers paving, giving us away. The new breed generation. You know, I'm not going to take your slogan. You know how you say it.
Yeah, I'm going
to. But I'm
going
to fall back. But I had to give a quick shout out to that. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that every time you come on here, you're going to be bringing something real, paving the way. Black power, black power, black power.
Thank you, sister. Asante. Yeah, you know, it's a part of us, the psychological effects of colonialization and slavery, and has placed chains on our minds. And it has also brought forth confusion, being both black and a black person and an African, and sometimes shamed being black and a black woman and a black man, and shamed to be known as an African. So we're here to break those mental bondage. We're here to break those chains and break mental bondage and get back to being black and proud. We are not our parents' generation, nor are we our grandparents' generation. We are a new breed leader, African generation, black man and a black woman with enough respect. I'm telling you now, we need y'all real G's on deck. This is a call for 1 million. African Liberation Day is coming up on May 25th, I believe. Yeah, that's right around the corner. That's next week. We've got African Liberation Day. We're going to definitely be fostering some conferences all throughout the African diaspora. So we want you and your brothers and sisters out there to get connected with what's taking place with many of the conversations that are going to be online on YouTube pertaining to African Liberation Day coming up on May 25th. We're going to have all of you on there to be able to weigh in We also want you to join the New Black Panther Party and organizations like the African Liberation Army and the NFAC and Team Huey Newton. We want you to get engaged and connected with the South African Freedom Fighters, also the Afro Diaspora Development Institute we just spoke about with the Wakanda Project, also the African United Business Organization. Hey, also, hey, the network in which I host every week, the New Africa Network. Yeah, you can join and get connected with brothers and sisters who are tied into the platform. And, you know, it's a free membership. Only thing you got to do is reach out to me, provide me with your email address or telephone number. And if you have WhatsApp, yo, you're connected. Our brothers and sisters.
And you got to be black. Let's tell them. They got to be black. Because we had a couple of people trying to join the New Black Panther Party. That was on the persuasion. They were
This is FUBU, which means
this is for us, by us.
And if you grew up in the 90s, you know what FUBU is, right?
Exactly. You need to be black. Yeah, we had a couple of people put their application in and everything. We get on a lot like, this is Paul. I'm like, Paul, where are you from? Are your mama and daddy African American? No, but I support. Okay, well, you need to go support with your own kind. This is for us. Let's make sure that everybody's clear on that.
Yeah, no offense.
I'm serious,
no offense,
though.
This is what it is. Yeah, no offense. This is by us.
Yes.
This is part of our liberation and as a part of something that we have respect and dignity for. You know, we have to prove to ourselves that we are getting to a point in our life where we can actually level up to a much higher advancements of getting out of that primitive way of life. And that is a part of being self-sufficient. And as we discuss dialogue sometime about black nationalism, and especially, you know, during these times of Malcolm X's birthday, is a lot of folks, they take black nationalism as offense. Oh, you don't want to be a part of the, you know, the American structure and establishment. You know, yeah, we did at one time, but, you know, it's very important for us at some point in time. You got to grow up and get on. You can't have a babysitter for the rest of your life. And we are certainly getting to be that generation in our point in time. Like I said, we're not our parents' generation, nor are we our grandparents' generation. And we're trying to get on to some new stuff that will help us level up as a collective group of people. And so as you see many of the African nations uniting, that is a part of that whole Pan-African movement, and we are to be included in that. And for those of you who don't know our history, yeah, it was folks like Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad and many of our ancestors who came forth to help us learn and respect ourselves and to know that we were much more than a chattel slave or our ancestry come from slavery, because in the beginning, we were not slaves. And also, we are not slaves now. And so we have to get on to what is expected of us through our ancestral links. And so before we get too far along, you know, I'd like to give a big shout out to Sister Meseret of the Meseret Humanitarian Organization of Ethiopia. And for those of you who have been keeping up with what we've been doing, we've been collecting donations for the Ethiopian orphanage and women, disenfranchised women of Ethiopia. And we have been getting many donations that come in over the last few weeks. So we had brothers and sisters come in from all around. That's part of the New African Network. They came here to Charlotte to bring their to be shipped over. And we got a lot of kids' shoes, and we had food, and man, you name it. It was the contributions were outstanding. So I figured we're going to give another week or so to see if we can get any last minute stuff in. And we're going to go ahead and get everything off to Sister Meseret. So hopefully when the African Liberation Day come around, we'll be able to share some of that enlightening information through Brother Imani Jean-Paul, who is with one of the Ethiopian television networks over there. And Jean-Paul will be bringing us live information when the food and all the good stuff that we've collected over the past several months to go to the Mesmeret Humanitarian Project. So, yeah, Black Power.
Well, how do people send you contributions for that? How do people support you on that effort? I mean, you said a lot. I mean,
yeah,
for those who are listening, how do they support?
Yeah, they pack and barrels. They can contact me at 1-800-216-1750. You know, if you have, like, children's clothing, they prefer that if you do buy clothing, that the clothing is new and still have a tag on it.
Sorry.
But it would be for children ages from toddlers all the way up to, you know, age 14, 15 years old. Books, we are definitely, through Brother Imani Jean-Paul and the Swahili school there, Brother Jean-Paul has been teaching Key Swahili to many of the indigenous people who may speak different tribal dialects and offering a way to communicate even when they can't communicate with each other, but a common language that links all Africans together. So we'll get into that Swahili school thing at some point in time, but it's something that I definitely feel that we here in African Americans, we need to get on that ourselves as well, because it is a business language that is being administered and fostered throughout many of the African countries there now. It is an African language and dialect that we can actually use to communicate across the board of what we're doing politically and economically. If you want to send any donations, we're going to have that shipment out of here next week. But last-minute items, if you want, we still have a need for baby food or baby hygienic products and stuff like that, or women hygienic products, stuff like toothbrushes and toothpaste and shampoo is always good. And we have about 4 55-gallon drums, and one is a little bit bigger than the other, others, and we pack those things all the way up to the top. And so we have a 2,000-pound capacity that we've arrange with the shipper itself to be able to fall under that humanitarian shipment flight, and we'll be sending that out via flight within the next week or two. But if you have an interest and want a little bit more information, you can contact me, Brother Eugene, at 1-800-216-1750. You can hit one or two, either one, to get to me. If not, actually, I'll leave a message with my secretary, and we'll get back in touch with you shortly after. And other than that, man, that's pretty much what's been going on throughout the African diaspora this week. We've been keeping up with a few of our brothers and sisters, like Wudamaya. Wudamaya is in South Africa this week, and if you get a chance, you can search Wudamaya on YouTube, which is one of our major networking partners, along with Brother Omar, Michael Omar of the Tunacheki Network and Tunacheki News Network out of South Africa. And Brother Wudamaya is there this week with one of our other dear brothers, Ty, from Nigeria. They went there to kind of give people a feel about what's happening in South Africa right now. And it is a good opportunity if those of you who want to certainly look at taking some trips there. They have a few tourist trips that they're going to be sponsoring coming up this fall, for those who are interested. So you can always contact me for something like that to get connected. And I think that's pretty much about it, what I have for everybody tonight. And it certainly has always been a pleasure to come on and conversate and provide this information.
Let me
tell you this right quick. We had a brother.
Let's remind,
Henderson,
we got a lot of people
week.
Listening. Before we play, we're going to end tonight with a clip of Malcolm, but before he goes, you know, we got a lot of listeners. You know, this is the time to press one if you have a question or a comment. You know, this network, although Eugene's bringing us a lot of information, this is the time to press one. If you had a question or a comment, we'll bring you in. We do have a caller. You want to make your thought you were getting ready to say before we bring in this caller?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to give a little information. We just had a brother hit me Friday last week, and he's a major artist. His name is Eazy Mobute, and M-A-B-O-T-E. He told me to give everybody his link to his website, and it is Mobute Art, M-O-B, MaboteArt. And he said, go to his website. He said, you got brothers and sisters out there, y'all want some real authentic African art? He said, hit him up. And he said he definitely worked with you on the price and everything just to ship it here to the States if you want some of this good stuff. But, yeah, I peeped this stuff up, and I was like, yo, I got to get some of that myself.
Mabute.
Yeah, but he lives in, yeah, Mabute. He lives in South Africa. He's been down there with Wudumaya and them. So, yeah, he said, hey, yeah, take a look at his stuff, Mabute and Mabute Art and South Africa.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Let's see. We got a call out of ATL. I think it's our brother Abdul. Black power, brother.
Black power, Queen. I just want to say to all the listeners, Muslims and non-Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do for self. The more we keep depending on the enemy, the more we're going to suffer. That's all I got to say. Black power.
Black power, you said a lot. Black power. We got a brother out of, well, I don't know if it's a brother. We have a caller out of the 908 area code. 908 area code, your mic is open. What is your name? What city are you calling from? And what is your question and or comment?
I'm the voice of force. Hello?
The voice of force.
Correct. That's
Black
my
Power,
name.
What city are you calling from?
Huh? I'm calling from Irvington.
What city are you?
Irvington.
Oh, yes, sir. Irvington, New Jersey. Right on. Yes, sir. What's your question or comment?
My comment is, you know, as a people, I hate to hear the word, we have a long way to go. Because we're going to get there. We're going there. The most important thing is, are we going to get there? And we have a global problem as a people. So we must start have global solidarity, global strength. That's what we've got to fight for as a people. That anywhere we sit or stand, we're respected. Because the power lies wherever we are. You have a continent, Mother Africa, and it feeds the world. The world depends on it. So if the world depends on it, then it belongs to us. Then it must feed us. So the point about what is happening, they are giving strength to our oppressor because of our weakness to unite. Until we do that, we'll be talking the same talk. We have to fight for strong global unity, and we must, in solidarity, and it must be trustworthy, we must be faithful, we must have principle and trust among us as a people, and we will get there. I hate to hear we have a long way to go. We've been going here for a long time. We follow all the ancestors, Nat Turner, right through the time, Malcolm, right through the time. So we've been going. The most important thing, we're going to get there. How to get here, it's the problem we have to solve with the people. That's what it is. And, you know, today is my day because today is Malcolm Day. And today is my day. I live in the spirit of Malcolm. And matter of fact, I sent Brother Eugene a song, a track that I made, create Malcolm, the man of in our time. If Brother Eugene, he like playing the track, he can play it before the night is over. I said to Brother Eugene.
That's right.
And, you know, so.
Let me tell you, we preload the audio up into the show. So, Brother Eugene, if we have to have it in the MP3, I'm going to say our email address. Is nbppnationalchair@gmail.com. And although Eugene has it, but for future reference for you and anyone that's listening, if you have any audio that you want us to play, if you send us an MP3, we'll check it out and we'll upload it and we can, you know, we have to do it, you know, before the show. You know, so that we can have it because this is our audio is preloaded. But just today is Malcolm Day, but every day is Malcolm Day. So if we don't get it up today, we'll get it into rotation. We'll put it in our regular rotation. Voice of fire, is that correct? Voice of power.
Voice of force.
Yeah, that's voice of power right there. All right, yeah. Brother
voice
Noel.
Voice of force.
Yeah.
Voice of force. Yes.
Yes, sir.
The voice
yeah,
of
matter
Lord.
Of fact, Brother Noel, I have to make sure I get you Sister Crystal's information so you can send that information to her directly.
Definitely. Definitely, my brother. Definitely.
Well, love, well, brother. I'm glad to have
yeah,
you on
love.
Radio.
We
got to
move on.
Tonight.
You have to dedicate this day to a man who observed and was willing to die without fear, but he's telling the story. So we must follow the Father, live in his spirit because his spirit is in us, my brother. So black power, we must get there.
Black power, we thank you for calling in. We thank you for everything that you just said because it is right and exact. You know, we have
yes,
everything
sir.
At our in our hands. We have the power. We have no excuse except that we just need to get more unified and
definitely.
And know, tell no lies and claim no easy victory. We know what we
definitely.
Need to do, people. We just need
definitely.
To do it, plain and simple.
Solidarity.
Not difficult.
Solidarity. Yes, sir.
Solidarity.
Good stance, my brother. Oh, yeah. Good stance. Black power.
Right on. Black power.
Right on.
Black power.
Yes.
Right
Black
on.
Power. Thank you, Brother Noel, for having a powerful message.
Yes, my brother.
Yes,
yes.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we have people listening all over, not only all over America, but all over the planet, you know, and every time I check the stats, I see more and more countries in Africa popping up. You know, people are listening on the late night in Africa right now, you know,
yes,
and all across the globe, in the Caribbean islands, in South America and Central America. There's no sector of the planet that we don't have people listening. So it goes to what our brother is saying. That means that like minds have tuned in or make a conscious effort to tune into this broadcast. And there's no other broadcast like this. You can't turn on a television or a radio show and hear people talking about black nationalism and the politics and what we must do. So not only must we take heed to what's being said, but put it in action, but make sure that you, brothers and sisters, continue to support this network. We put a lot of volunteer time and heart and effort into making sure that we bring something to you every night. And on special nights like Thursday, we focus and have our brother Eugene come in and we talk about the business of African people. The business of African people, you know, and liberation and freedom fighting is in fact a business, you know, and we have plenty of examples of active, ongoing projects and operations. We're talking about, the brother's talking about developing, helping to develop cities. What does America offer you but a job to help build their resources? And even if you're going to be doing something here in America, you should be doing it as an independent black business operator, doing something for your community, building our own nation. So we have every opportunity before us. And we have the privilege and the honor of having history before us. And we have the opportunity right now to do those works that are going to make an important part of uplifting our people for now and for the future. Right now, it is on our watch. It is on our watch. We have many great ancestors who've come before us and whose spirits we move in and in light of. But on our watch, brothers and sisters, while we're on the ground and around, we have work to do. So we thank our callers. We thank our special guest host, Brother Eugene Talford. We want to remind everyone to tune in, to continue to tune in nightly. And also to support the New Black Panther Party. The number is, the website that is, we got a sister talking about she's trying to step out and call in. You better come on before it's too late. She's listening, but she's at work. She said, give her a moment. She better come on. We want to play Malcolm. And Brother Eugene, can you remind us and tell us, before everyone gets off, give us that number of how to support the humanitarian efforts that you guys are doing for the Meseret, for the orphanage, and for the folks in Ethiopia,
yeah.
And
yeah,
and also
sure.
I'm going to remind you guys that our website is NBPP, That's two P's. End of the new. Biz and Black Piz and Panther Piz and Party.org. Go there and make a donation button. I mean, click the donation button to make a contribution and also to contact us. And go ahead, Buddy Gene. How can folks, before we hang up, tell them, one, I mean, before we play this clip of Malcolm, tell us one more time how to support your humanitarian effort.
For sure. Well, this is the Meseret, M-E-S-E-R-E-T, humanitarian organization project that we've been working on. The black businesses have united here in the States along with our African brothers and sisters from overseas to gather donations to give to this orphanage and Women's Resource Center. We also have a art center that we're going to be sending supplies over to through Brother Jerome Matias, who is one of our outstanding New African Network brothers who have been traveling there to Ethiopia for some years, working with Brother Amani and also Sister Meseret, and making sure our people in need get some of the resources and things that sometimes we here in the United States take for granted. So those who are interested in donating, we have Ethiopia for this particular project donation, but we're going to be selecting a African nation every 6 months that we're going to co-op with and get some needy people there things that we can provide for them. Those who are interested in getting connected with the New African Network and the Meseret Humanitarian Project Program, you can get in touch with me at 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750. I'm Brother Eugene Talford from ETC Logistics USA, the New African Network, and host of the with the New Black Panther Party Thursday Night Business Broadcast. That's what's up, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. And also, brothers and sisters, if you are interested in getting financing for real estate development or as an investor, or if you're interested in getting working capital for a business that you already have that's in operation, but you are looking to get some working capital to help expand your operation, you can go to www.TIAMAAT agency. That's Tiamat Agency. And we will be happy to forward you the information that you would need to get funding. We would simply need to get about 3 months of a business checking statement, business account statement, and we will be able to forward you money within 24 to 72 hours. Now, you can reach the Tiamat Agency at 800-798-3735. That's 800-798-3735. You can also reach us at by our website at www.TIAMAAT, Tiamat Agency.com. So, you know, from logistics to financing to travel to political education to dual citizenship in the countries that offer it in Africa, as we just heard tonight, we see early on. We also have information about dual citizenship for Ghana. I mean, you come up with what it is that we need or that you would like to get involved with, and if we don't have the information, we will definitely find those who do. I was attempting to give Lady Freedom a few minutes to chime on to make her comment, but, you know, the show must go on. She sent me a message that today makes 13 years that she's been in the movement. She started her voyage into the movement on Malcolm X Day 13 years ago. Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I meant to mention earlier, it was Malcolm X that was part of my consciousness awakening back in 1991. I remember to this day, there was a lecture. I was a student at Texas Southern University, and I was walking through the student center, and there were some folks having a program about Malcolm X. And here it is. I had went through top student in high school. In college, my first year in college, and I had not even ever heard in a day in my life of Malcolm X until that, you know, this lecture was being played. I heard it in the hallway, and I peeked into the to the auditorium to hear or see who it was that was making such, you know, profound statements that were touching my spirit and my mind. And, you know, and they were playing a video of Malcolm X, and I sat and I listened, and I was like, wow, you know, why out of all my life, you know, at the time, I guess I was about 18 or 19, out of all the schooling that I went to, this, you know, they never, of course, taught us about Malcolm X, you know. So that became one of the things that helped bring me into consciousness as I wanted to learn more about Malcolm. And I did find this book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, and then that led me to finding the Nation of Islam. And, you know, that was a wrap from being a young student activist. I was always pro-black. Let me keep it like that. I come from a family that always instilled black business etiquette and had, you know, a pro-black energy about it, you know, even though they might not have necessarily been revolutionary, but we've always been taught black pride, let me put it like that. But my consciousness started awakening from one lecture I heard from Malcolm X, and it's been on ever since. So I guess this would make my 31st year of consciousness and getting involved in the movement. And I, again, was awakened by the teachings of Malcolm X. So I've tried to give the sister, is that you calling in, Freedom? If that's you, press 1. Black Power, Lady Freedom, is that you?
Black Power.
I was giving my testimony about, wait a minute, this will be my 31st year and your 13th year.
Oh, my 13 goodness.
Flip backwards to 31.
Come through.
But go ahead, Freedom. Tell us about Malcolm and
awesome.
How this is your anniversary. Yeah, I'm just we're doing the science. This is a living thing going on. Well, Brother Eugene laid out so much today. I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, him and his allied comrades with the New African Network have been gathering together humanitarian resources to send to Ethiopia for the Meseret Orphanage. And also he laid out today about you know, the business sector, about the smart city projects that are going on in West Africa. And we had some other brothers
Black
and
Power.
Sisters that called in. And, of course, we kicked it off honoring Brother Malcolm, and that's how we're going to close it. But I wanted to give you a go ahead.
Happy birthday, Malcolm. Yo, and, you know, I'm really excited. I didn't realize we had the same Pantherversary. This is so neat. And so I actually have reached out to you to say, you know, thank you for 13 years of sisterhood, you know, and camaraderie, and didn't realize it was your Pantherversary too. But even just that showing.
It's actually my Conscious-versary. That's when I came into consciousness in 1991. Yeah.
Come through. So, I mean, and even then, as a testament of how strong our ancestors are, how strong El Hajj Malik Shabazz still coming through, even from the other side, to reach out to people who have liberation in their heart and revolution in their spirit, right? And so I'm just really excited that it has a significance for you too, and that they killed the revolutionary, but they couldn't kill the revolution, right? And so just even seeing how Malcolm just keep coming through and keep coming through and keep inspiring. You know, today I saw Brother Sharif and his with his beautiful bouquet of children, and they were saying, I am Malcolm X, right? And even just remembering us doing, I am Malcolm X, you know, even with, shout out to Spike Lee for wanting to tell that story, right? But I'm just really humble to be able to say that even from the other side, Malcolm reached to me. And I thought we were just going to celebrate Malcolm X. I didn't know that there was Panthers walking the streets in these modern times, right? And so the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was doing the Black Power Summit, right? And that's how I even ended up getting into panthering and just, like I said, a testament to even the strength of Malcolm coming from the other side to continue to reach out to people, you know, and continue to make sure that we continue these Pan-African dreams, you know. And I was hearing you speaking about the brother doing the work in the motherland and even just looking at what Malcolm wanted for us and being able to reach across the waters for Black Power. And that's what we're continuing to do. So I'm honored to get to continue the legacy for Malcolm and for those that come before us, you know, and being here in this black city on a beautiful black day like this is just blacktastic, right? And so we continue to honor him and even his queen, you know. I feel her come through too, you know. So maybe that's somebody reminding a brother, did you eat right today, you know. But I'm really just grateful even for you, Queen, for you continuing to hold the line by every means necessary to continue to program, you know, the Black Cross even. Health was important to Malcolm and to Betty. And so I'm glad that I can even say that I serve alongside people like you and continuing to keep the works of Malcolm alive. And we're going to keep at it, you know. And thanks for all that you do, Queen.
Thanks for all that you do, Lady Freedom. Now, you know I'm not going to let you get off this phone without singing. You started out there to happy birthday to Malcolm. Let's get it. Oh, but you know what? Let me say this, too. The Queen snuck off the plantation to come get on this radio show tonight. You know, talk about dedication. So before you get back in, let's get that Malcolm. Let's get it. Can we get a quick one from you?
What we want to do, sing some happy birthday for Malcolm?
Happy birthday, Malcolm, or Black Liberation, whatever the spirit is, you queen.
Okay. Malcolm was a good man. A mighty, 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 mighty good man. Malcolm was a good man. A mighty, mighty, mighty strong black man. Malcolm was a good man. A mighty, 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 mighty good man. Malcolm was a good man. A mighty, mighty strong black man. Black man, we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate all the things you do. Stand up like Malcolm D. Said, stand up like Malcolm D. Yes. Now, normally the birthday song for the last year or so. Black Power.
Yeah,
normally the birthday song the past year or so. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot on him even still here. You know what I'm saying? In the face of a government that killed a Malcolm, we are still here in the face of that same government, in the face of that death to COINTELPRO, let's say it. You know what I mean? Death to COINTELPRO, I said it. Death to the damn COINTELPRO. And if they come up on us, we'll send their ass to the graveyard. That's what Malcolm said. Man put his hands on you, send them. Black power. So may we continue with that strong spirit. May they continue to protect and guide us. Black power.
I say it, Black Power. Yes. So with that, brothers and sisters, Lady Freedom bought the spirit. Let's hear from Malcolm X. Fireside Chat. Black Power.
Black Power.
Oh, shit, y'all didn't hear me coughing.
The moderator, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies, tonight, I hope that we can have a little fireside chat with as few sparks as possible being tossed around, especially because of the very explosive condition that the world is in today. Sometimes when a person is putting the house on fire and that person to whom the house belongs is asleep, if someone comes in yelling fire, instead of the person who's awakened by the yell or being thankful, they make the mistake of charging the one who awakened them with having set the fire. I hope that this little conversation tonight about the Black Revolution won't cause many of you to accuse us of igniting it when you find it at your doorstep. I'm still a Muslim. That is, my religion is still Islam. I still believe that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. That just happens to be my personal religion. But in the capacity that I'm functioning in today, I have no intention to mix my religion with the problems of 22 million black people in this country, just as it's possible for a great man whom I greatly respect, Ben Bella, to be a Muslim and still be a nationalist, and another one whom I greatly respect, Gamal Nasser, to be a Muslim and still be a nationalist, and Sukarno of Indonesia to be a Muslim and still be a nationalist. It was nationalism that enabled them to gain freedom for their people. I'm still a Muslim, but I'm also a nationalist, meaning that my political philosophy is black nationalism. My economic philosophy is black nationalism. My social philosophy is black nationalism. And when I say that this philosophy is black nationalism, to me this means the political philosophy of black nationalism is that which is designed to encourage our people, the black people, to gain complete control over the politics and politicians of our own community. Our economic philosophy is that we should gain control over the economy of our own community, the businesses and other things that create employment so that we can provide jobs for our own people instead of having to picket and boycott and beg someone else for a job. And in short, our social philosophy only means that we feel it is time to get together among our own kind and eliminate the evils that are destroying the moral fiber of our society, like drug addiction, drunkenness, welfare problems. We believe that we should lift the level or the standard of our own society to a higher level wherein we will be satisfied and then not inclined toward pushing ourselves into other societies where we're not wanted. All of that aside, tonight we are dealing with the Black Revolution. During recent years, there's been much talk about a population explosion. And whenever they're speaking of the population explosion, in my opinion, they're referring to the people that's primarily in Asia or in Africa, the black, brown, red, and yellow people. It is seen by people of the West that as soon as the standard of living is raised in Africa and Asia, automatically the people begin to produce abundantly. And there has been a great deal of fear engendered by this in the minds of the people of the West who happen to be on this earth a very small minority. In fact, in most of the thinking and planning of whites in the West today, it's easy to see that fear in their minds, conscious mind and subconscious mind, that the masses of dark people in the West, in the East rather, who already outnumber them, will continue to increase and multiply and grow until they eventually overrun the people of the West like a human sea, a human tide, a human flood. And this fear of this can be seen in the mind and in the actions of most of the people here in the West in practically everything that they do. It governs their political views, it governs their economic views, and it governs most of their attitudes toward the present society. I was listening to Dirksen, some senator from Illinois, in Washington, D.C. last week, filibustering the Civil Rights Bill. And one of the things he kept stressing over and over and over, that if this bill is passed, it'll change the social structure of America. Well, I know what he's getting at. And I think that most other people today, especially our people, know what is meant when these whites who filibuster these bills, especially and express fears of changes in the social structure, our people are beginning to realize what they mean. Just as we can see that all over the world, one of the main problems facing the West is race. Likewise, here in America today, most of your Negro leaders as well as the whites agree that 1964 itself appears to be one of the most explosive years yet in the history of America on the racial front, on the racial scene. Not only is this racial explosion probably to take place in America, but all of the ingredients for this racial explosion in America to blossom into a worldwide racial explosion present itself right here in front of us. America's racial powder keg, in short, can actually fuse or ignite a worldwide racial powder keg. And whites in this country, who are still complacent when they see the possibility of a racial strife in this country getting out of hand, and you are complacent simply because you think you outnumber the racial minority in this country, what you have to bear in mind is wherein you might outnumber us in this country, you don't outnumber us all over the earth. And any kind of racial explosion that takes place in... any kind of racial explosion that takes place in this country today, in 1964, is not a racial explosion that can be confined to the shores of America. It's a racial explosion that can ignite the racial powder keg that exists all over the planet that we call Earth. Now, I think that anybody would agree that the dark masses of Africa and Asia and Latin America are already seething with bitterness, animosity, hostility, and unrest and impatience with the racial intolerance that they themselves have experienced at the hands of the white West. And just as they themselves have the ingredients of hostility toward the West in general, here we also have 22 million African Americans, black, brown, red, and yellow people in this country, who are also seething with bitterness and impatience and hostility and animosity over the racial intolerance not only of the white West in general, but of white America in particular. And by the hundreds of thousands today, we find that our own people have become impatient and are turning away from your white nationalism, which you call democracy, toward the militant, uncompromising philosophy of black nationalism. And I might point out right here that as soon as we announced that we were going to start a black nationalist party in this country, we received mail from coast to coast, especially from young people at the college level, the university level, who expressed complete sympathy and support and a desire to take an active part in any kind of any kind of political action based upon black nationalism designed to correct or eliminate immediately the evils that our people have suffered here for 400 years. The black nationalists, to many of you, may represent only a minority in the community. And therefore, you might have a tendency to classify it as something that's insignificant. But just as the fuse is the smallest part or the smallest piece in the powder keg, it is yet that little fuse that ignites the entire powder keg. The black nationalists, to you, may represent a small minority in the so-called Negro community, but yet they just happen to be composed of the type of ingredients necessary to fuse or ignite the entire black community. And this is one thing that whites, whether you call yourself liberals, conservatives, or racists, or whatever you might choose to be, one thing that you have to realize is that where the black community is concerned, although the large majority that you come in contact with may impress you as being moderate and patient and loving and long-suffering and all that kind of stuff, the minority whom you consider to be Muslims or nationalists happen to be made of the type of ingredient that can easily spark the entire black community. This should be understood, because to me, a powder keg is nothing without a fuse. ...1964 will be America's hottest year. Her hottest year yet. A year of much racial violence and much racial bloodshed. But it won't be blood that's going to flow only on one side. The new generation of black people who have grown up in this country during recent years are already forming the opinion, and it's a just opinion, that if there's to be bleeding, it should be reciprocal. Bleeding on both sides. It should also be understood that the racial sparks that are ignited here in America today could easily turn into a flaming fire abroad, which only means it could engulf all the people of this earth into a giant race war. You can't confine it to one little neighborhood or one little community or one little country. What happens to a black man in America today happens to the black man in Africa. What happens to the black man in America and in Africa happens to the black man in Asia and to the man down in Latin America. What happens to one of us today happens to all of us. And when this is realized, I think that the whites who are intelligent, even though they aren't moral or aren't just or aren't impressed by legality, those who are intelligent will realize that when they touch this one, they're touching all of them, and this in itself will have a tendency to be a checking factor. The seriousness of this situation must be faced up to. I was in Cleveland last night, Cleveland, Ohio. In fact, I was there Friday, Saturday, and yesterday. And at the last Friday, the warning was given that this is a year of bloodshed, that the black man has ceased to turn the other cheek, that he has ceased to be nonviolent, that he has ceased to feel that he must be confined to all these restraints that are put upon him by white society in struggling for what white society says he was supposed to have had 100 years ago. So today, when the black man starts reaching out for what America says are his rights, the black man feels that he is within his rights. When he becomes the victim of brutality by those who are depriving him of his rights to do whatever is necessary to protect himself. And an example of this was taking place last night at this same time in Cleveland, where the police were putting water hoses on our people there and also throwing tear gas at them. And they met a hail of stones, a hail of rocks, a hail of bricks. Well, you're in a couple of weeks ago in Jacksonville, Florida, young teenage Negroes were throwing Molotov cocktails. Now, Negroes didn't do this 10 years ago. But what you should learn from this is they're waking up. It was stones yesterday, Molotov cocktails today, it'll be hand grenades tomorrow, and whatever else is available the next day. The seriousness of this situation should be faced up to. You should not feel that I'm inciting someone to violence. I'm only warning of a powder keg situation that you can take it or leave it. If you take the warning, perhaps you can still save yourself. But if you ignore it or ridicule it, well, death is already at your doorstep. There are 22 million African Americans who are ready to fight for independence right here. I mean, when I say fight for independence right here, I don't mean any nonviolent fight or turn the other cheek fight. Those days are gone. Those days are over. If George Washington didn't get independence for this country nonviolently, and if Patrick Henry didn't come up with a nonviolent statement, and you taught me to look upon them as patriots and heroes, then it's time for you to realize I have studied your books well. Our people, 22 million African Americans, are fed up with America's hypocritical democracy. And today we care nothing about the odds that are against us. Every time a black man gets ready to defend himself, some Uncle Tom starts trying to tell us, how can you win? That's Tom talking. Don't listen to him. This is the first thing we hear. The odds are against us.
You're dealing with black people who don't care anything about us. We care nothing about us. Again, I go right back to the people who founded and who secured the independence of this country from the colonial powers of England. When George Washington and the others got ready to declare or come up with a Declaration of Independence, they didn't care anything about the odds of the British Empire. They were fed up with taxation without representation. Then you've got 22 million black people in this country today, 1964, who are fed up with taxation without representation and will do the same thing. Who are ready, willing, and justified to do the same thing today to bring about independence for our people that your forefathers did to bring about independence for your people. And I say your people because I certainly couldn't include myself among those for whom independence was fought in 1776. How in the world can a Negro talk about the Declaration of Independence and he's still singing, "We Shall Overcome"? Our people increasingly are developing the opinion that we just have nothing to lose but the chains of segregation and the chains of second-class citizenship. So 1964, we'll see the Negro revolt evolve and merge into the worldwide black revolution that has been taking place on this earth since 1945. The so-called revolt will become a real black revolution. Now, the black revolution has been taking place in Africa and Asia and in Latin America. When I say black, I mean non-white. Black, brown, red, or yellow. Our brothers and sisters in Asia who were colonized by the Europeans, our brothers and sisters in Africa who were colonized by the Europeans, and in Latin America, the peasants who were colonized by the Europeans, have been involved in a struggle since 1945 to get the colonialists or the colonizing power, the Europeans, off their land, out of their country. This is a real revolution. Revolution is always based on land. Revolution is never based on begging somebody for an integrated cup of coffee. Revolutions are never fought by turning the other cheek. Revolutions are never based upon love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you. And revolutions are never waged saying we shall overcome. Revolutions are based on bloodshed. Revolutions are never compromising. Revolutions are never based upon negotiation. Revolutions are never based upon any kind of tokenism whatsoever. Revolutions are never even based upon that which is begging a corrupt society or a corrupt system to accept us into it. Revolutions overturn systems. And there's no system on this earth has proven itself more corrupt, more criminal than the system that right now, 1972... than this system that in 1964 still colonizes African Americans, still enslaves 22 million Afro-Americans. There is no system more corrupt than a system that represents itself as the example of freedom, the example of democracy, and can go all over this earth telling other people how to straighten out their house, and you have half of the citizens in this country who have to use bullets if they want to cast a ballot. The greatest weapon that the colonial powers have used in the past against our people has always been divide and conquer. America is a colonial power. She has colonized 22 million Afro-Americans by depriving us of first-class citizenship, by depriving us of civil rights, actually by depriving us of human rights. She's not only deprived us of the right to be a citizen, she's deprived us of the right to be a human being. The right to be recognized and respected as men and women. And in this country, a black man can be 50 years old. He's still a boy. I grew up with white people. I was integrated before they invented the word. And I have never met white people yet, if you don't be around them long enough, who won't refer to you as a boy or a gal, no matter how old you are, no matter what school you came out of, no matter what your intellectual or professional level is. in this society, we remain boys. So America's strategy is the same strategy as that which was used by the past, in the past by the colonial powers. Divide and conquer. She plays one Negro leader against the other. She plays one Negro organization against the other. She makes us think that we have different objectives, different goals. As soon as one Negro says something, she runs to this Negro and asks him, what do you think about what he said? Why, anybody can see through that today, except some of the Negro leaders. All of our people have the same goal, the same objective, freedom, justice, equality. All of us want recognition and respect as human beings. We don't want to be integrationists, nor do we want to be separationists. We want to be human beings. Integration is only a method that's used by some groups to obtain freedom, justice, equality, and respect as human beings. Separation is only a method that's used by other groups to obtain freedom, justice, equality, or human dignity. So our people have made the mistake of confusing the method with the objective. As long as we agree on objectives, we should never fall out with each other just because we believe in different methods or tactics or strategy to reach a common objective. We have to keep in mind at all times that we aren't fighting for integration, nor are we fighting for separation. We're fighting for recognition as human beings. We're fighting for the right to live as free humans in this society. In fact, we're actually fighting for rights that are even greater than civil rights, and that is human rights. We are fighting for human rights in 1964. This is a shame. The civil rights struggle has failed to produce concrete results because it has kept us barking up the wrong tree. It has made us put the cart ahead of the horse. We must have human rights before we can secure civil rights. We must be respected as humans before we can be recognized as citizens. Among the so-called Negroes in this country, as a rule, the civil rights groups, or those who believe in civil rights, they spend most of their time trying to prove that they are American. Their thinking is usually domestic, confined to the boundaries of America, and they always look upon themselves as a minority. When they look upon themselves on the American stage is a white stage. So a black man standing on that stage in America automatically is in the minority. He's the underdog. And in his struggle, he always uses an approach that's a begging, hat-in-hand, compromise approach. Whereas the other segment or faction in America, known as the nationalists, black nationalists, are more interested in human rights than they are in civil rights. And they place more stress on human rights than they do in civil rights. The difference between the thinking and the scope of the Negroes who are involved in the human rights struggle and those in the civil rights struggle, those so-called Negroes involved in the human rights struggle don't look upon themselves as Americans. They look upon themselves as a part of dark mankind. They see the whole struggle not within the confines of the American state, but they look upon the struggle on the world stage. And in the world context, they see that the dark man outnumbers the white man. On the world stage, the white man is just a microscopic minority. So in this country, you find two different types of Afro-American. The type who looks upon himself as the minority and you as the majority, because its scope is limited to the American scene. Then you have the type who looks upon himself as part of the majority and you as part of a microscopic minority. And this one uses a different approach in trying to struggle for his rights. He doesn't beg. He doesn't thank you for what you give him, because you're only giving him what he should have had 100 years ago. He doesn't think you're doing him any favors. He doesn't see any progress that he has made since the Civil War. He sees not one iota of progress, because, number one, If the Civil War had freed him, he wouldn't need civil rights legislation today. If the Emancipation Proclamation issued by that great shining liberal called Lincoln had freed him, he wouldn't be singing "We Should Overcome" today. If the amendments to the Constitution had found his problem, still his problem wouldn't be here today. And even if the Supreme Court desegregation decision of 1954 was genuinely and sincerely designed to solve his problem, the problem wouldn't be with us today. So this kind of black man is thinking. He can see where every maneuver that America has made, supposedly to solve his problem, has been nothing but political trickery and treachery of the worst order. So today he doesn't have any confidence in these so-called liberals. Now, I know most of you all coming in here tonight, you don't call yourselves liberal. Because that's a nasty name today. It represents hypocrisy. So these two different types of black people exist in the Negro, so-called Negro community. And they are beginning to wake up, and their awakening is producing a very dangerous situation. So you have whites in the community who express sincerity when they say they want to help. Well, how can they help? How can a white person help the black man solve his problem? Number one, you can't solve it for him. You can help him solve it, but you can't solve it for him today. One of the best ways that you can solve it, or help him solve it, is to let the so-called Negro who's been involved in the civil rights struggle see that the civil rights struggle must be expanded beyond the level of civil rights to the level of human rights. Once it is expanded beyond the level of civil rights to the level of human rights, it opens the door for all of our brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia who have their independence to come to our rescue. Why? When you take when you go to Washington, D.C., expecting those crooks down there to pass some kind of, and that's what they are. To pass some kind of civil rights legislation to correct a very criminal situation, what you're doing is encouraging the black man who is the victim to take his case into the court that's controlled by the criminal. It'll never be solved in that way. It's like running from the wolf to the fox. The civil rights struggle involves the black man taking his case to the white man's court. But when he fights it at the human rights level, it's a different situation. It opens the door for him to take Uncle Sam to world court. The black man shouldn't have to go to court to be free. Uncle Sam should be taken to court and made to tell why the black man is not free in a so-called free society. Uncle Sam should be taken into the United Nations and charged with violating the UN Charter on Human Rights. You can forget civil rights. How are you going to get civil rights with men like Eastman and men like Dustin and men like Johnson? It has to be taken out of their hands and taken into the hands of those whose power and authority exceed